You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the second part of the Steelers Preview. I'm Jeff Hartman, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. With me, as always, Brian Anthony Davis, our podcast producer, and the other co-editor, Dave Schofield. Right before we went to the break, Blake asked us this question. I'll read it again so we're all on the same page and we'll answer it. Which player, realistically, would you be most excited to see as a Steeler out of the Big Ten? So a player that you'd be really pumped to see in the black and gold. Brian, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. You seem to be the guy that would get this right.
Yeah, this is kind of tough for me. And I'm...
So it's got to be realistic. So you can't say like Justin Fields, because that's not realistic.
Yeah, let me go ahead and... Guys, you're going to have to help me out. You know how the brain cramps a little bit? I've said his name so many times, and now it's escaping me, but it's number 11 for Penn State, the linebacker.
Micah Parsons,
yeah. I don't know why he escapes me. Now, that's a guy who, I mean, if he drops...
He opted out last year, right? He didn't play in 2020.
He did opt out.
Has off-field issues, off-field stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's there. I've heard he's a disaster. I've actually, somebody in the live chat has said in a couple of weeks ago that he's just a complete disaster as far as character goes. But as far as talent, the guy does have a lot of talent. So that's the guy who I immediately think of when I'm thinking of the Big Ten. But Fields would have been another one, but I'm still not drafting Fields. I just don't think he fits.
Well, again, he said it realistic. Like, I don't think that's realistic that Fields falls to 24.
Yeah, I don't either. But Parsons could drop.
Yes. He has a more realistic chance of being there than Fields. Dave, who do you like from the Big Ten?
Okay. I was trying to bring
up. As he Googles Big Ten players.
No, I'm bringing up a mock. I was trying to bring up a mock draft. So I could say, well, if Brian's going someone there that, you know, some people have as high as, like, I've seen Parsons. I just pulled up a recent mock draft. They have him as 7. But the one that I highlighted on Monday for the mock draft Monday was he was available for the Steelers at 24, and they had the Steelers take a 4-3 edge rusher over Micah Parsons at 24. And I'm like, that's just crazy. But someone who I could say, okay, well, someone who I don't think will be there for the Steelers either, like Parsons, but is a little bit further down the list. Thinking outside the box.
BJ Finney.
Not your typical Big Ten school in Northwestern, Rashawn Slater.
There's no way Slater's at 24. You really think
probably
so?
Not?
He's
right
like
now,
the second rated tackle.
Well, right now I see him as 12, but there's no way Parsons should be. He's like 5 or 6.
Okay, I'll play this game. I'll give you a player, and I wouldn't be overly ecstatic for this player, but I think the Steelers like him. the brass was at this pro day, and that was the University of Michigan. Jalen Mayfield, who's a tackle, and he's got off-field issues too. He's inexperienced. He, I think, opted out midway through last season because of like a back issue or something. But he's a big dude. He's physical. He will probably be there at 24, whether they take him or not. And the reason why I know this is because Friday I'm running my draft breakdown. I'm continuing my tackles. I've already done Jenkins and Darisaw, Virginia Tech. Now I'm going over to Mayfield from Michigan. So there you go.
Can we go one not in the first round?
Sure.
Other than the guy Brian's absolutely in love with because I talked him into it, at inside linebacker, if the Steelers don't get him in the first round.
Are you talking about Zaven Collins?
Zaven Collins.
Okay.
The other one is the inside linebacker from Michigan, and I can't remember his name.
Quiddy.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him later in the draft, like two or three.
Oh, McGrone.
Yes, that's it.
I know it's not Big Ten, but you guys like Bolton?
From Missouri,
From Missouri. He didn't have a good pro day. A lot of people were just disappointed with his workout. But I think that he's a thumper. Like, he's old school inside linebacker. You want someone next to Devin Bush. You want someone that's not the JOC from Notre Dame. You don't want that type of linebacker. You want a linebacker that's going to go downhill, be more Vince Williams. Like, I like Bolton a lot. I really do.
You know, he's the kind of guy that I'm looking at if you want to go in number two.
I don't think he'll be at 55, though.
Bolton, yeah, he's here's the thing. Everybody's saying that everybody that we bring up, I don't think he's going to be there at 55, but there's guys that are going to have to drop too.
Yeah.
And it just seems like he doesn't have bust written on him. He has drop written on him. And that's a lot of people are talking about him sliding into the second. And there's another guy, an inside linebacker, Chaz Surratt, that you can do in the third.
So
one of the things that I really don't have as a don't, but it's one of my big draft things, is try to figure out a little puzzle, like have different scenarios where you've got running back, center, inside linebacker, center, OT running back. You know, you have all these different scenarios because this draft is kind of perfect where one goes off the board, you could slide somebody in with all these different scenarios. And I'm sure they're going to have that. But there are a lot of clear, okay, if you can't get this center in round one and you decide to not go for Creed Humphrey, you're not going to get Creed in round two, most likely, but you could definitely fill in your number two. Could be a Dickerson if you want to go to Dickerson. Or if you want to wait to the third, you might be talking a Miners. If you want to go to the fourth with a center, you're talking Trey Hill in one of those positions from Georgia. So have these guys that you could see on your team when it's not, and we talked about not picking the certain position, but having guys earmarked for different rounds at each position that would work and would definitely fit on your team. And I think that's what they can do very well.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to get these super chats here. Ashley M gives us $2.99, says, I'm just happy that I caught the show live. We're happy that you're here, Ashley. Thank you very much for the tip. We appreciate it. Sean Manahan continues tipping us a lot tonight, gives us another $5. Thank you very much, Sean. He says, if Houston calls to give Deshaun Watson for a fourth round, would you accept the trade? No. Personally,
they're not.
No,
they're not doing. I mean, if they're accepting that, it means that he's really in trouble.
Well, he's in trouble regardless.
Well, no, yeah. What I'm saying is that they know he's in trouble if they're, because they wanted what, like two or three first round picks for him.
I don't know.
And then now if they're going to try to pawn him off for a fourth, then yeah, they know he's not playing again.
All right. So, Dave, do you have any other ones? I have two still that we haven't talked about.
No, I combined mine. So they're
all right. Brian, what about you? Do you have any left?
This is just a quickie. Don't panic. And that's when I say if somebody goes off the board, this kind of feeds into what I just said earlier about having all these different scenarios, which I'm sure they do. Just don't panic. This is still one of the best drafting teams in the NFL. And if you listen to Dave's show this morning, you would probably figure out that they're a good drafting team. So with that being said, don't don't worry about this draft. And I'm going to say this to the fans, not the Steelers. Don't freak out if the Steelers take a running back in the first round, if they take a center in the first round, if they take, because every time now I'm going to say that there's three or four people, I could probably tell you who they are. I'm going to go crazy if they draft an inside linebacker in the first round. I'm not going to know what to do when they do this. No, you're not doing anything. You're just going to complain about it. And you're going to realize that he's pretty good. Don't do what I did in 2014. I was so angry that the Pittsburgh Steelers selected Ryan Shazier. What do I know? I'm like, you need a corner. You need Darqueus Dennard. This is the guy.
Dennard.
I don't know who this Shazier guy is. He's a he was a second round pick all this time, and now he's burning up the charts. Hey, they know what I don't know. I don't know anything. They know that. I don't know that I don't know anything. Don't worry. Trust the process. They draft better than you do. And that's the bottom line. I know you won your fantasy league 4 years in a row over your mailman and your 9-year-old nephew. I get it. But these guys have scouting departments. You don't have one out of your living room. Don't worry. If they get a running back, they know, they feel that they can't miss. They know what we know. Just like my kids. My kids don't think that sometimes that I don't know what's best for them. But then they figure it out when they haven't burnt their hand off by putting it on the stove. They know that, all right, maybe he's onto something. You know, so these guys know what they're doing. They don't have the bust that you think they do. They had a bust in 2013. They had a bust in 2016. I could tell you a lot of great picks from 10 to 20. And I could tell you about them right now. We just don't have the time.
Not the best color man in the league for nothing, Phil. So, so I have two left on my list. Those were good, Brian. I'm going to say, and I'm going to preface this with, I mean, I talked about this more on my Let's Ride podcast that comes out Friday morning, which is I view draft picks like baseball analogies. In my opinion, it is a situation where you need to have one home run, give me two doubles, and then you throw in some singles. And you got a good draft class. You have a good draft class. I think they did this. It was personified to a T in 2020. Chase Claypool was your home run. You have doubles with Kevin Dotson and Alex Highsmith. And then your singles are like Antoine Brooks, Anthony McFarlane, and Carlos Davis, all who made the team, all who played. Dave wrote that article for the website, how it was one of the first draft classes that everyone made the team and participated, right?
The first.
Yes. So
first draft class where every person played at least one game with the Steelers that was drafted by them.
And I think a lot of people, especially those that aren't Steeler fans, forget that Chase Claypool was a second round draft pick and they still hit a home run with him. They need the first round pick to be a home run this year. They really do. And so that's why my next one is don't select a defender who is a project. If you're going to go on defense, and you're going to take any defender, I don't care if it's defensive line, even though Dave said don't take it. I don't care if it's corner, safety, inside linebacker, outside edge, doesn't matter. It needs to be a player that can come in on day one and at least contribute. Doesn't have to be a starter because we know our defense is good, but they need to be able to contribute. And that's not someone that you think about. You think about, perfect example is Bud Dupree. You know, Bud Dupree was a project from day one. Everyone knew it. He's a freak of an athlete, but he's just not ready yet. They can't make that pick this year, in my opinion. So you guys can chime in on that if you want. Go ahead, Brian.
I will, and I'm going to agree with everything you said, and I'm going to see your Bud Dupree, and I'm going to throw in a Cam Hayward.
That's a good point. Yep.
Cam Hayward took 2.5 or maybe 3 years to really be a bona fide starter for this team. And then when it came around contract time, he wasn't going anywhere. And that's kind of what happened with Bud Dupree as well. But you've got to give these guys time. And that's for the fans again. Give these players time. I talk about it all the time. Terry Bradshaw would not be a Pittsburgh Steeler in 2021 if he was drafted in 2016. He's would have been a Mitch Trubisky. He would have been, oh my gosh, he would have been Carson Wentz. I mean, look at where, I mean, actually, he would have been worse than Carson Wentz the way he started. This is a completely different era. If you listen to the fans in 2003, Troy Polamalu would have been a Hall of Famer for another team.
Yeah, you're right. They were down on him, that's for sure, because they traded up to get him, and then he didn't really play much his first year. Dave, you have any thoughts on that?
No, you say don't take any projects on defense, but you know what? That's what the seventh round is for. It really is. I mean, because all the seventh round, I don't say just on defense, just in general, by that time you're taking a flyer on someone. That's all that's there. Your seventh rounders usually don't amount to anything. That's why it's amazing when the Steelers have seventh rounders that have contributed, you know, like what they did with Kelvin Beachum and someone like that. Because to me, all a seventh round draft pick is an undrafted free agent that you didn't want to have a chance for another team to pick up. That's what the seventh round is for. Because you have guys that are just as good that are going to be your undrafted free agents that you're going to be trying to sign after, but you don't want to have to fight for, if you know what I mean.
What does the seventh round have to do with the first round?
Yeah, Jeff was talking about the first round, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, you were just talking about the first round?
Yeah, just the first round.
Just making sure. Because I would agree with you in general that the Steelers shouldn't take a project defender. I wouldn't take one in the fourth. You know what I mean?
Well, the fourth I'm okay with, but I'm like, if the first round, if you're going to pick a defender at number 24, it has to be someone that can play this year.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be someone that can contribute this year.
The first 2 days.
They've made that move before, i.e. Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree.
So you are definitely right there. I thought you were extending
it further
out.
That's okay.
Which is fine. I mean, I would have even agreed with it further out. So
Seattle has two losses. All right, you know.
No, I just didn't. I left my list to the first round, but I thought you guys were talking beyond the first round. I thought I screwed it up.
Let me say this, because we have all these inside jokes, and for the people that have listened to us for years now, when we say Seattle has two losses, they get it. If we say touchdown zone, like, they get it. But I feel bad for the people that might just tune in to a random Steelers preview that they just search Steelers on their iTunes and found this podcast. Like, Seattle is, what the heck are they talking about? Seattle has two losses. They're all inside jokes. Don't take them take with a grain of salt. We'll put it that way. Felicia gives us $20. I feel like there's an explanation here, because I don't understand this at all. She said, this is my mulch donation, since you didn't give me any info. Love you bad. Thank you for the $20, Felicia. Brian, please explain yourself.
My scout troop, I had mentioned on, I guess it was the Hangover 2 a.m., I mentioned that my scout troop, their big fundraiser is
mulch.
They sell mulch. And it's a huge fundraiser. Do it in the spring. And I said, and I'm the scoutmaster now. And I said, everybody, I said, look, I don't care when we do it. Just do not do it the weekend of the 29th to May 1st, because I am not going to be available. I am working the draft. That is a huge weekend for me. And that is the only thing I'm doing. The wife and kids know I'm not around draft weekend, because that's basically Black Friday for us. You know, that's our big retail weekend. Draft weekend is huge for us. So I said, don't do it. They went ahead and scheduled that weekend. So I was bringing that up. And since we do deliver mulch, but we cannot deliver to Louisiana. So Kathy was going to go ahead and give us a donation, which was wonderful. I appreciate it. She asked for the information where to send it to, but since I don't multitask well, I wasn't able to type it out and send it to her on the show the other day. So thank you so much.
So we had Jerry Cherry Van, who is, I got to tease this out. He put out a new single, and I have it as my intro for Let's Ride on Friday. So make sure you check out my Let's Ride podcast, if anything, to hear his newest single, which is out. He asked about the Seattle has two losses. He said, I've heard it for years, but never knew what it meant. So this was a discussion that the three of us were having. Dave and I are going back and forth, as Dave and I often do. And we said, Brian, what do you think? And now, mind you, this had nothing to do with the Seattle Seahawks. And Brian was out in La La Land, and Lord knows what he's thinking about. I don't even want to know what he's thinking about.
He's reading the live chat.
I was reading the live chat.
I'm sorry, Dave was, or sorry, Brian was being distracted by the live chat, as he always is. And when we say, Brian, what do you think? He goes, Seattle has two losses. And yeah. Dave and I looked at each other like, what does this have to do with anything that we
just
talked
about? Which was something we were talking about teams with how many losses they had, but like 5 minutes
before that. Yeah, like 20 minutes before. Oh, so
that's with a touchdown zone. Bad makes those mistakes.
We do have a lot of inside jokes. Like some people that might just be randomly listening want to know why Frank Webb gets talked about so much. His name's not really Frank Webb. It's what is it?
Ralph. And we were talking about running backs, and I said, "Well, you know what? They have Ralph Webb on the roster." And Jeff's like, "What? I have no clue who that is." And so he just named him Ralph. Frank.
It's Frank.
Now, I mean, it has become so famous. We had somebody in the live chat named Frank Webb Lives.
Yes.
For the longest time. Frank Webb is my dad, or Frank Webb's son, or something like that. There's
someone
Frank
on Twitter.
Webb's burner, or something like that.
No. That's Dick Shiner. Dick Shiner's burner is on Twitter. Okay. Someone has a Dick Shiner burner account. Again, there are people that have been with us since we started doing this show, the three of us, and even when it was just Brian and I that have been listening the entire time, I hope you all remember all these stories because we don't forget them. All right. So I have one left. Does anyone else have another one, or is this the last one?
Yeah, you can go ahead. I'm done.
All right. Here we go. Please don't pick a player based on the school or conference. And I used Alex Highsmith as a perfect example of this. And this is not just first round, by the way. This is not just first round. I'll talk about let's do day one, day two. Day one, day two, rounds 1 through 3. So Alex Highsmith, when he was drafted last year, I know I wasn't alone. And you hear it, okay, the second round or the third round, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Alex Highsmith from Charlotte. What? Who? Where? A third round pick? Are you kidding me? I mean, I felt like Dave, you're
he showed up in some of my mock drafts.
Wait a second.
But you know who really knew him? Who really called it?
Shannon.
A contest.
Shannon.
Shannon
White.
Called Alex Highsmith as their third round pick,
which is crazy.
Now let me jump in, and this isn't to toot my own horn because I have no horn to toot. What I'm saying is, I just watched this episode yesterday. I watched the beginning of it because last year we did something called the live watch party for each pick where we're watching and it comes up. So the three of us are watching it and we all did this. Who? All three of us. And then we agreed that it was a good pick. And then Dave brought up the Shannon thing and we're like, you know, this, and the more we found out about it, we did not poo-poo this pick at all, but we were all, well, okay, this is a name we don't know. And this goes back to the year before, and we're talking about inside jokes, and we're talking about we teased Dave for the longest time about Deontay Johnson just because he's like, why are you picking this guy here that we don't know who he is? And he was just, it was a live reaction. He was a little bit of frustration. So Jeff and I are like jackals. We're just like, we just like jump on him, and you hate Deontay Johnson. And he's like, no,
they had another pick like what, 15 picks later. And I thought they would maybe take him there if they really liked him. But then I found out he wouldn't have been there. So that was my question. But
there you go.
But no, with Alex Highsmith, I didn't even remember his name. I just remember that there was an edge rusher from Charlotte that was on the radar. But can I chime in about what Jeff said about the schools, the small schools?
Because the reason I say that, hold on, before I want to preface that, everyone always says, you know, like, well, they don't like older players. Highsmith was an older player. They only picked from Power 5 schools. Highsmith was not from a Power 5 school. And I felt like they just can't paint themselves into a corner with some of these categories. Go ahead, Dave.
When it comes to actually trying to figure out who the Steelers are going to take, the hardest thing to figure out is the small school guy.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to take one or more in a draft. There's a decent chance that they will. They've done it a lot. The question is, you have no idea what they see and why that's the guy they like. Because I remember that's exactly what I said, because my brother and I ran a live mock draft simulation on our show that the live chat was picking. And I said, Alex Highsmith was one of the options for the third round. And I said right then, I'm like, I don't like to pick small school guys because I really don't know how the Steelers feel about them. They could love them or they could not think much about them. So the fact that the Steelers took him there, I knew they loved him. And that's why I thought it would end up turning out pretty good. And that's why you're right, Jeff. Don't get locked into thinking it's got to be the big school guy.
And I'm going to go and say, and just kind of piggybacking off of what we were talking about, I don't feel like the Steelers, you know, I said, well, if Colbert and Tomlin weren't at the pro day, then they're not picking them. I find that hard to believe. Like, I just really find that hard to believe. That would tell me that they do not trust their scouting department or coaching staff at all. That if there was someone that was a really good talent that they just didn't happen to be at that pro day, that they would say, I'm sorry, Kevin and I weren't there. If I'm Tomlin, like Kevin and I weren't there, so we're just not going to make the pick. I find that to be absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you remember the famous 1987 story where Tony Dungy went to Chuck Knoll and said, hey, you know, we don't really need to spend many resources going to Purdue to see Rod Woodson because he is not going to be anywhere near there when we get to number 10. We know about him. We know he's good, but let's spend our resources somewhere else because he's not going to be here. Next thing you know, at 10, Shane Conlon goes, I think, at 9 at this point. At number 10, there he is, Rod Woodson. And they're like, oh, wow, this is our guy. So, you know, just because I'm jumping on that thing because I did this on Fact or Fiction the other day. I've been all over this thing because we've got somebody, a very valuable staff member here at BTSC, and I don't want to mention Michael Beck's name. Oh, no. Michael, I love you, but – as soon as he sees that somebody isn't at the pro day, because this guy has eagle eyes on pro days, and he's like, to see who's there. And when he sees that Colbert or Tomlin aren't there, he kind of worries, like, I guess we're not taking that guy. No, if it's a situation that they can get this guy and they know a lot about him, then you don't have to worry about it. They know everything that you need to know about not – Najee Harris. They know everything that you need. There's some of these guys you don't have to look at, but you do have to go look at a guy like Zaven Collins because you might not know a lot about him. But you do have to go look at some of these guys.
But do you have to go look at Zaven Collins? He's the only athlete at Tulsa that you'd be going to see. You have all the game film you need on him. You're going to get the testing results. They're probably going to have video of it. And in today's modern era, you can Zoom with anybody anytime. And that's so they true. Can meet with him. So I'm just thinking to myself,
go to the places where you have multiple options.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, who did they send there? They didn't send a big gun there.
No.
They sent like the assistant inside linebacker.
But my theory was, why would you have to send Tomlin and Colbert there when he's the only one you're going to want to see?
I'm not saying send those guys there. I'm mm-hmm. saying make sure that you're represented there.
Right.
And I agree mm-hmm. with you that you trust, you delegate for a reason. Yeah. If Adrian Clem is somewhere, you know, case in point, Adrian Clem went to North Dakota State to check out Radunes. But you don't think that he was looking at, even though he's not a quarterback coach, even though he's not a coordinator, you don't think he was looking at Trey Lance? Yeah, because they trust these guys because they're coaches. And they're going to say, hey, so tell me about Radunes. Yeah, tell us all about Radunes. And the next thing you know, all right, did you get a chance to look at number 5? And he's like, well, yeah, I did. He was impressive. You know, so they kind of, they do that stuff too. So don't worry about who shows up as long as you know about the prospect.
Michael Beck's ready to jump off of a Vancouver bridge every time they're not at a pro day. So we need to keep that in mind.
I can't confirm this personally, but I'll believe him because HHH said no one was at Stanford when the Castro.
No, that's wrong.
I don't know that Colbert
and Kugler were there because it was Sean Kugler was the offensive line coach.
But I don't know that
they didn't think they had any shot at him, but they were there. I believe they were there.
Yes, they were. That is confirmed.
Okay, Sean Manahan again. Boy, Sean, man, using that stimulus money well. Giving us $5, says they're going to take someone from Maryland. LOL. Yeah, they probably will take someone from Maryland. I'm sure that'll be a pick at some point. Maybe not. We'll see. All right. I'm out. Dave, do you have trivia?
I'm out. Oh, trivia? Yeah, I have trivia. Was Brian out?
He was out before I said my last one.
Good. I have trivia. And if you listen to my Stat Geek podcast this morning, you might have in passing been able to deduce some of these answers. So I don't know if either one of you will be able to or not, but what I attempted to do on Stat Geek, I'm telling you all now, that was what Brian called me out on the show last week, where he wanted me to try to come up with a way to compare the Steelers as a drafting team to the entire NFL. So over the
amazing last- job, by the way.
Oh, so you listened to it?
Yeah, I can't believe right. You did it.
Well, it was a lot of work, but I'm like, if I'm doing that much work, I'm not gonna do the preview because Stat Geek takes a lot of work every week. So I'm gonna do the work for that. So I did it there. I was hoping it made sense. It was really difficult. I kind of used PFR stuff and then combined it with my own just to come to a conclusion. Did not expect that conclusion. The team that was the best did not. It wasn't. I'll tell you, Pittsburgh was towards the top, but there was one team that was one step better that I was surprised with. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. But I talked – one of the things that I used to figure out when it came to drafting superstars, because I was breaking into two things, superstars and key contributors, I subtracted off based on the number of top 10 picks the team had. Because if you're drafting in the top 10, you should be drafting a superstar. You really should. So you're kind of penalized if you're constantly drafting in the top 10 and constantly missing. So when I did that, I found that there was a bunch of teams in the NFL, not a bunch, but several teams in the NFL. No, it wasn't a bunch. I think it was three, actually, now that I look back at it, that only had two first-round picks since 2000, one of which was the Steelers. My question to you guys is there are four NFL teams that have picked 10 or more, double-digit times in the top 10 since the year 2000. Do you have any idea who those four NFL teams
Cleveland.
Are? Cleveland has drafted in the top 10, 13. They have made 13 top 10 picks. Whether they traded for them or however you got them, they've made 13 top 10 picks in the last 21 drafts. Crazy.
I'm going to take a guess here, and I'm going to guess. Go, Brian, go. You guess. Go ahead and go. You guess.
This is purely a guess. I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins? No, they're not actually even close. They only have six top 10 picks. And since in the last 21 years, but the problem is they haven't been done very well with their picks.
I was actually going out on a limb and going to say, I don't know why I'm thinking of this team Buffalo, because they were pretty lousy earlier in that stint, but
Buffalo was at least close. They had eight.
Okay.
They had eight.
I'll throw some out there from the live chat. The New York Jets.
The New York Jets were really close. They were one of the teams that had nine.
Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions is one of them. The Detroit Lions have had 12 top 10 picks in the last 21 drafts.
Let me throw in Arizona.
And there you go. Ding, ding, ding. The Arizona Cardinals have had 11.
Jeez.
11. So you're only missing one. I will tell you there was two from each conference. So you're missing the other one in the AFC.
Was it the Raiders?
And it's actually the team that has had the most top 10 picks. In the last 21 years.
That's not the Raiders.
And they will have another one this year.
The Jags?
That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars with 15 top 10 picks in the last 21 drafts.
Oh, my gosh. That is insane.
Mm-hmm. And some people say the Bengals. The Bengals had nine. They were really close. So,
really man. Close. Yeah. How many? 15?
15 for the Jags.
Jeez. And they still stink. Holy cow. Brian, do you have trivia?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think we have time for the whole thing. So I'm going to just water it down a little bit here. And this is something that I should have done on President's Day weekend. But I'm looking through for an article that I'm going to do and for Tales from 2 a.m. that I did the other day with some fun namesakes. And in 1980... the Steelers drafted a player named Woodrow Wilson. So not the president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, but they drafted a Woodrow Wilson. So I'm going to give you other presidents that they have drafted, not the full namesake, because they did not draft a George Bush, but they drafted a Devin Bush. So I'm going to give you the names of every single person, not in the first round, that they've drafted in their history. And there is going to be one in there that does not belong on the list, that they never drafted a player with the last name of a president. And you have to tell me which one it is. So I'm going to give you Johnson, Washington, Adams, Grant, Harrison, Carter, Taylor, Jackson, Ford, Buchanan, Wilson, like I mentioned, Jefferson, Hayes, and Polk. Which one have they never drafted?
I'm going.
You're going to get it.
With Harrison.
Okay.
Because they had James Harrison, but he wasn't drafted. And I can't think of another Harrison that they have drafted.
What about Arnold Harrison?
Did they draft an Arnold Harrison?
We'll see, Jeff. Okay. What do you think?
What he said.
You didn't even Seattle has two losses.
He ran through the name so quick. I'm trying to think about all the players it could have been.
Did you say Polk?
Yeah, he did.
I said Polk. Polk.
See, but Polk's too obvious. Polk is too obvious. That's I feel like that's one that everyone's like, oh, it's Polk. But there's probably some schmuck that they drafted named Polk.
Burley Polk was not a schmuck. Burley Polk was on that list.
His name is Burley Polk.
Burley Polk.
Best friends of Dick Shiner.
So you're not going to guess?
No.
All right. Jeff ruins it once again. Arnold Harrison was never drafted by the Steelers, and neither was James Harrison. So the two presidents named Harrison do not have a Steeler surname namesake that's ever been drafted.
I feel like the scene in Billy Madison when they're doing the decathlon at the end, and Eric is playing the violin, and it's beautiful, and Billy Madison has like the oboe or something. He just blows into it one time. He goes, "He's good." That's me when I'm doing trivia. He's good. I don't know.
Burley Polk.
Burley Polk. Good Lord. Okay, let's do some final thoughts. Brian, we'll start with you. Go ahead.
Burley Polk. That's all I got.
that's the best. That's it?
I don't have any.
All right, very good. Dave, final thoughts. Move it along.
Can't wait for the draft to be over so we really know who we got. That's what it comes. We can sit here and talk about all these players and don't do this and do that and all everything else. It's all good and fun talking because that's what we're focused on, because that's the next big thing. And I mean, and other than actual season, the biggest thing in the NFL. But it really is going to come down to, before we know it, we'll know the approximately 8 players that the Steelers have. And then that's when we can really get in and know what's going on.
See, I love the anticipation of the draft. It's like Christmas. There's a whole season for it, you know, and you're always waiting for it. And then it comes and you finally get those presents and then you get to analyze them. But then there's that lull. So I love this. People eat it up and I'll talk about the draft up until the day that they actually pick. Blake gives us $4.99, says, when's the fan draft?
You know what? I needed to do that. So thanks, Blake, for bringing that up. So the fan draft is coming up on the 26th of April. On the 19th, we are going to have the BTSC draft, where the contributor draft. But before we do that draft, we're going to have the draft lottery when we have those picks. Blake, I already got an email from you. If you do want to email me or go ahead and send something to my my Twitter account, which you can see on the screen, which is hashtag BTSCBAD or Saint Myra. Pardon me?
It's a hashtag? Is your Twitter handle?
No, it's not hashtag. It should be at.
I'm new to this whole. I only have like 296 followers.
What is this snap face thing?
I thought it was hashtag.
Are we insta facing right now? Are we insta facing? Is that what we're doing?
No.
Okay. He just reminds me so much of those commercials about your parents. About
turning into your parents.
It's like, if you printed up directions to get here today,
you're in the right place.
I need Dr. Rick. Yeah. Brian's
printing out MapQuest directions.
So it's at, and he just said, "You guys, that's been up there for months. Why didn't you correct me?" Oh, goodness gracious.
You were wondering why you were trending.
I mean, said it was hashtag the fail man, Tampa Tony. Oh, goodness. I don't know this. Gosh, I'm an old man. So it's at BTSCBAD on Twitter, apparently. And it's SaintMyron at gmail.com. Of course, SaintMyron for Myron Co.
Oh my gosh. Felicia says, I hope we don't end up like the Christmas Story movie and don't get the gun. He gets the gun. He still gets the gun. He shoots his eye out. That's the best part about it. Well, not that he shoots his eye out. Anyways. All right. That's a great show. We're going to wrap this up. Next week, we'll be back to talk about probably the NFL draft. So if you love draft talk, make sure you tune in next Thursday. Maybe there'll be news. I don't know. We'll see. Dave, why don't you send us out?
Hey.
There you go. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week for another.